time?
Sunday.
What day?
Sunday.
It's time to play the game.
Get ready for a game day edition of CBJ and 30.
Game on!
Yeah, game on!
Hear from the players and coaches as the Blue Jackets get set to hit the ice. Join the discussion on Twitter by using the hashtag CBJ and 30. Here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
You ain't gotta go away. No. Work, 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 but you gotta be
Well, the Blue Jackets will go back to work tonight, and they will work from home at Nationwide Arena when they take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Welcome to a game day edition of CBJ and 30. I'm Bob McGilligan. The Blue Jackets will have their work cut out for them tonight, too, because the Maple Leafs are a team that is in the playoffs right now, and they want to stay there. The only way they're going to stay there is by winning games and accumulating points, and they're hoping to get two of them on the road here tonight. The Blue Jackets know that Toronto is very young, just like they are. They are very exciting, just like they are. And they are just playing hockey for fun, just like the Blue Jackets are. A lot of similarities between these two teams that will square off tonight at Nationwide Arena. The Blue Jackets are also looking to get points tonight because they lost ground in the Metropolitan Division last evening. Both Washington and Pittsburgh won. That means Washington has 102 points, the Penguins have 101 points, and the Blue Jackets have fallen into third place with 100 points. But those other two teams are off today. You have a chance to get right back to where you were at the start of the day yesterday if you can get a victory tonight. And then, not to look ahead, but it's true. Tomorrow, they will be in the nation's capital to take on the Capitals in a head-to-head matchup. In Washington to take on the Capitals tomorrow. These games are huge. Every game remaining, actually, is huge the way this Metropolitan Division is playing out. The Blue Jackets did get themselves officially into the playoffs on Sunday with a big win in New Jersey. After missing a couple of weeks, Lucas Sedlak returned to the lineup on Sunday. He scored one of the goals on a penalty shot, and tonight he is going to stay in the lineup, albeit playing at a different position. He's going to move from center to left wing, and the veteran Scott Hartnell is going to be a healthy scratch tonight for the Blue Jackets. I had a chance to talk about that situation and much more with the head coach of the Blue Jackets, John Tortorella, in our exclusive one-on-one game day conversation.
When we talked on Sunday, you didn't know what you might get out of your team being an afternoon game, and what you got was one of the strangest games ever, probably, with two penalty shots and two shorthanded goals. But what you really got is 2 points. You got a win. Your team secures a playoff spot. Did you take a moment just to sit back and reflect on how proud you are of them and what they've been able to pull off and accomplish to this point?
Yeah. We talked about it really quickly as a team because I know they wanted to get the radio on and do all their stupid stuff they do after games. And I think it's important as hard as we are on them when they're not doing well, you better be going the other way. And I couldn't be prouder of the team. Where they've come, where teams are writing us off as a lottery team this year. We talked about trying to gain respect in the league. I think we've accomplished that, at least for this year. I think when you get true respect, as you do it year after year, we'll see as we go down the road where that goes. But they should, they should feel really good about themselves. And now we just have to stay on top of ourselves and not listen to any of the noise out there. Just worry about it the way we've prepared every all year long is every day, one day at a time.
So you always say that you don't go into the room after the game. So you went into the room after
I
that
did.
One?
I did. When they're coming off, we fist pump and stuff like that with them when they're coming off. But I wanted the coaches to be in there, and I just to give them a quick thought. And, they deserve that. We give them quick thoughts when they're not doing well. We're going to give them a quick thought when they accomplish something like that, and so it's good for them.
Well, you've told me before you don't talk after the game because you don't want to say something stupid. On a day like that, how could you say something stupid?
No, and that wasn't even hockey stuff. That's emotional for me to see a group of people make their first step, and that's all this is. And I told them that also. Remember, this is just our first step. And it gives us an opportunity to start down a new road, and they deserve it, and couldn't be prouder of.
They clinch with 11 games left, but there is still so much to play for. Is that good in your mind that you still have so much battle you have to go through?
Yeah, it is. We got to just stay on top of ourselves and keep our work habits. And you never plan it this way. It does afford me the opportunity. I need to look at some things within our lineup. Because of some additions with injuries and some of the people that are playing better. So that gives me a little flexibility, but we're looking to win every game. We're practicing as hard as we can and trying to win every game.
Based on your practice, it looks like you're going to try Lucas Sedlak on the left wing, and it looks like Scott Hartnell might be the odd man out.
Yeah.
Is that tough for you to do with a veteran like him at this time of the year?
Yeah, it's really hard. Scotty's out, and I'm going to be doing this through the next few games. A few people will be out here and there that you'd be surprised they are. But Scotty doesn't want to miss a game. Scotty hasn't done anything to miss a game. But I have to make decisions here. I need to see if Zedzi can play in the left wing. If I keep my lines the way they're probably going to be, I got to figure out that fourth line. I'm not looking to disrespect. It's hard. It's hard. And Scotty's upset about it, but I can't make my decisions because of that. I'm not going to overthink this, but I'm certainly going to use some of these games here with the flexibility I have with the team now to look at things. Bjorkstrand's the one that's changed things, and he bumps people into different situations, and it goes right on down the line. So those are the things that I've got to look at.
What about when it comes to the goaltending? I know you've always said you had a plan. You guys map out a plan. Does your plan change when you clinch and still have 11 games left?
Well, I know. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to give it to you, but I never plan for a year or for weeks for a goalie. But I have with this situation here now for our goaltending situation. I'm not going to give you the plan, but Clarkie and I've relied on Clarkie here. He understands the mentality of the goalie. He understands Bob and Corpy. We have a plan for the remaining games. And then we'll get into the good stuff.
Are you as surprised by where this team is as many people from the outside are?
I don't know. I'm not sure if surprised, because when you're with them every day, I watched this, you know, in the beginning of the year when we had, remember, we lost those first two. We had a good 3 or 4 days. Regroup. I watched how they handle themselves. I've watched how they've really bought into being businessmen. I wouldn't say surprised. I think you need a lot of good things happen for you to get to 100 points this early, too. So you have a little luck. But I think things have fallen in place because they have gone about their business the right way. And Bob has had a really good year. Corpy has had a really good year for us here. I know Forsey's played a few, but Corpy's kind of taken the spot. So a lot of good things have gone right, but give them some credit, too. They've gone about the business the right way.
When you are around your players, do you get the sense that they have that? They're walking that line very well. They're confident. They're not cocky. If you want to call it swagger, you can call it swagger. But you feel like they have that right now?
I think they've gotten better at that. They do have it right now. I'm anxious to see, do we cross the line and forget about how we're supposed to play? That's going to come up here in the next few games, but I trust the team. I've watched them handle situations this year, and I trust the team.
You've got Toronto coming up next before going to Washington. I think another good thing is your team's not going to look past the Maple Leafs to get to the Capitals because of that day by day that you've driven all year. They bought into that, but this Toronto team, they're right on the verge. They're in a playoff spot. They want to stay there, and they're very similar to you, aren't they? Young and hungry.
Yeah, they're a dangerous team. Dangerous team offensively. Their goaltending has been better here the second half of the year. That's a good hockey club, and you know, they're on the cusp right now. They're going to be coming here, and so we need to be ready tomorrow night.
Are you excited? I mean, are you literally excited about going back to the playoffs?
Oh God, yeah. That is the most. That's where you make your legacy as a player. I'm excited, absolutely, for the coaches and the organization, but the people I'm most excited for are the players. And I mean that. I'm not saying that just to be this really good guy or anything like that.
No, we wouldn't believe that.
No, I know. But I'm pumped. They're the ones that have to go through all this and listen to us all year long, kick them along the way, bench them, sit them out, do all these things we do. It's the most rewarding and fun time of the year. And, Bobby, that's when we become one. I always call it, as far as coaches and players, at that point in time, we're with them. You can't be with them during the year all the time. You have to make decisions. You have to push them. You have to coach them. You get to that time, I think you become more of a one as a coaching staff and players, and you become more of a unit there. We're with you because we're not going to overcoach them, and we're going to have a ball. I want them to have fun because if you can't have fun now, after going through the crap of a regular season, this game isn't worth it. So I'm so excited for them.
George, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, man.
It's great to kind of peel back the curtain with him and get a glimpse of the real man behind that very tough facade that is the head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets, John Tortorella. And what I mean is he is so excited about right now. And you could hear it there a little bit, but I'm telling you, looking into his eyes made me remember that last year, how he talked at this time of the year when he said, you know, we're playing well, but, you know, it sucks because you're not going anywhere when the regular season's over. He flat out said that. He said, this is nice, but it means nothing. And he was right. He was already geared toward training camp last year. He said that. He would say, with 11 games left, just like this, I am already looking ahead toward next year's training camp. And he made it a point to say it was no disrespect to anything that was going on right now. It was just that there was no playoffs, so there was no sense in getting wrapped up in anything positive because, at the end of the day, there was nothing positive to come out of that season. So now he is energized, he is geared up, he is excited. And as you heard him say, with Scott Hartnell being out of the lineup today, if you heard some of those comments there, at one point he said, you'll see some other guys come out of the lineup that you wouldn't think would. So to me, that says he is going to rest players down the stretch here from time to time. But I don't know that he's going to pitch it to those players as though it's a rest. I think he might just try to pitch it as though there's still pressure to keep your job. So you didn't play well enough last night. I'm going to put somebody else in tonight. And he may actually do it that way. It might not be a set plan that I'm going to sit Nick Foligno today. I'm going to sit Brandon Saad tomorrow. I'm going to sit Cam Atkinson the day after that. Maybe he's just going to let them battle it out. And maybe he's just going to let them see what they can do and how they can stay in the lineup. Maybe that's how he'll use these next 2 weeks. I don't know. It'll be fun to watch because the master mental manipulator is ready to go to work here and find out who are the toughest players. And the toughest players, the toughest mental players, they've got to be playing the game well too. I'll give you that. But the toughest mental players are going to be playing when that first playoff game starts, whatever day that is. When the puck drops on that first playoff game, the 12 toughest mental forwards are going to play. The 6 toughest mental defensemen are going to play. And the guys that give him the best chance to win is how you break it down. They're going to be the guys that are going to play. So it's going to be neat to watch. There will be a story inside the story here over the course of the next couple of weeks. Of course, the big thing, though, is trying to catch the Washington Capitals, trying to finish first in the Metropolitan Division, which likely, not for sure, but likely makes you the President's Trophy winner, meaning the best team during the regular season. I say likely because the Chicago Blackhawks are still there knocking on the door as well. They just hit the 100-point mark last night. So they're the only team in the West that's in the conversation. Other than that, Capitals, Penguins, Blue Jackets. And between those four teams, one of them is going to win that trophy. And I don't know if the other three teams are as hell-bent on winning that trophy as the Blue Jackets are. I really don't. Because so many times, the winner of the President's Trophy doesn't even make it to the Stanley Cup Final, let alone win it. Ask the Capitals. They saw that last year. They were gone early. They didn't even have a chance. So, you know, they've been there. They've had that experience of winning that and then not producing a Stanley Cup. You know, the Penguins, same thing. Chicago, they know. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to win it, for crying out loud. For this organization, it would be fantastic to win it. absolutely fantastic to win it. But those other ones, been there, done that, and it didn't work out so well at different times. So, you know, sometimes it does work out. Other times, and I think, I didn't go look it up, but I think most times it doesn't work out so well. Well, one guy that his career has worked out really well because he already has two Stanley Cup rings, and he got those with the Chicago Blackhawks. And then 2 summers ago, he was traded from Chicago because of salary cap reasons. He was traded to the Blue Jackets, and I'm sure when he came in here, he thought that he was ready to go on a great run with a good young team. Instead, what happened? He and his teammates finished 27th out of 30 teams in the league last year. Of course, I'm talking about Brandon Saad, who I had a chance to catch up with and talk about the situation he's in this year.
If you look back to a couple of years ago when you came here, is this the team that you thought that you were joining, a team that was going to go to the playoffs, a team that's playing extremely well right now?
Yeah, I think, I mean, no one expected last season, so last summer or the summer before when I was coming here, that's what everyone expected, and we all had high expectations, so it's nice to finally be at the top here.
How have you guys done it throughout the course of the year? Just, you know, you've been tested in a lot of different ways, but you passed all those tests with flying colors.
Yeah, you know, we faced some adversity this year. You know, we had that great streak, and then you go on a couple game skids where you lose some games. So we've handled a lot pretty well, and I think with just the depth of our team and the way we're playing defensive structure, and obviously our goaltending has been tremendous.
When you came out of the streak, and then it was kind of up and down, a little roller coaster there, back and forth, and wasn't winning a lot of games in a row, kind of treading water. You know, you've been on teams that they kind of, there's a lull there, and then the playoffs start to come, and then they flip the switch and they turn it on. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't so sure a young team like this would be able to regroup like that and turn it on. But then you had the 5-day break, and what was the mentality like coming out of the break? Because since then you've been tremendous.
Yeah, I think everyone got a little refresher there. You know, it's a long season, especially for young guys who haven't been through it. So when we're kind of facing a little adversity and losing hockey games, it's always nice to kind of recharge and reset the batteries. And coming back, we're all refreshed and ready to go, and I think that shows in our play.
Going into New Jersey, I know there was a great sense that you guys wanted to clinch that day. I could just tell from the guys I talked to before the game. Is it nice that you get that done, but yet there's still so much to play for? There's 11 games, and there's something that you're still shooting for, so, you know, there's still that carrot on the end of the stick.
For sure. You know, I think we're all happy and to be in the playoff spot and clinch, and but at the end of the day, like you said, there's quite a bit of hockey left, and with our division, it's pretty incredible with the seeding, so we got a lot of work to do, and keep playing the right way and getting our habits right for the playoffs.
And when you talk about the seeding, you've been through this before. How important is home ice advantage in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's huge, especially in this building. When our fans get rocking, it gives us a lot of energy. So we're all excited and want to be here for the majority of playoffs. And you got to win hockey games to solidify that seeding.
I know a couple of guys the other day after the game were talking President's Trophy, which you have a legitimate shot at. But how deep is that drive in this room to wind up being the best?
You know what? I think we just want to take it game by game. And like I said, we want to win and have a higher seed going into playoffs. You know, the President's Trophy, it is what it is. But for us, it's with how tight it is, we really can't look that far into the future. We got to take it day by day, game by game, and then see where the chips fall.
As a guy that's been through this before several times, what kind of help and guidance can you lend to anybody that might be looking for an ear to talk to?
Well, I'm here for whoever, but I think the biggest thing is just lead by example. You know, it's something where whether it's making good plays on the ice or good habits, wherever, I just want to try to lead by example. And I'm here for them, though, if they need me, for sure.
How do you like that new line combination with Sam Gagner and Cam Atkins?
It's been great. You know, we haven't found the back of the net, but we've had quite a bit of chances. And I think that's the biggest thing is working for chances. When pucks start going in for us, it'll be deadly.
Finally, you've just talked about day by day, so I know pretty much how you're going to answer this. You've got Toronto coming up here, and then you've got Washington in the very next day. No chance you look by Toronto, right?
For sure. You know, they're especially in the spot they're in. You know, they're fighting for their lives in that second wild card spot. So for us, we got a lot of tough games coming up. We're taking it game by game.
And it could be a playoff preview. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. That's about 3 weeks away, so we'll see.
All right, Brandon, thank you very much. Good luck.
Yeah, perfect, thank you.
That's Blue Jackets forward Brandon Saad, and did you hear him? Deflect, deflect, deflect. He is right. There is no looking past the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, especially because Washington won last night. But there are times when you've got that head-to-head matchup coming the next day, and you can forget about who you're playing on that day. That's not the way this team is set up. So they will be very concentrated, because if they don't win tonight's game, they don't have a chance to pass the Caps tomorrow anyway. So it's kind of a package deal. You've got to win tonight so that you have a chance tomorrow. But when I mentioned to him about this being a potential first-round matchup, which it would be if the Blue Jackets won the division, if they finished number one in the conference, top of the Metropolitan Division, then they would play the second wildcard team, which is, right now, the Toronto Maple Leafs. That could change. The Islanders could get on a run. The Lightning could get on a run. But right now, it's the Maple Leafs, and I think that they've got a pretty decent foothold on that last position. So it very well could be a preview of what we're going to see. And Brandon Saad says, you never know. It's that's a couple of weeks away. And I love that. That has been this team's mindset. It is not going to change. It's not going to change with the playoff spot clinched. It's not going to change with 11 games left. It's not going to change as long as there is a chance to be the best during the regular season. The absolute best. Accumulate the most points throughout the course of the regular season. As long as that chance is there, that's the focus, to win every game. They want home ice advantage. They want it the whole way through. But they at least want it in the first round. So the only way you get there is by finishing second. So first or second, and right now they're third. So that's why there's going to be an extreme focus here with all these games left. And again, I like that. I'm glad that they're still playing for something, because it'll keep them sharp and it will keep them on their toes. Speaking of a guy that has looked sharp, he's a player that hasn't played much at all this year. He's been here all year, but he's been healthy scratched for months at a time. He's been the number seven defenseman. At one point, maybe he was number eight early on. He moves up to the number seven spot. But don't forget, you only play six. So being number seven is not necessarily a good thing amongst the defensemen. But here in the last couple of games, rookie Marcus Nuttavaara has been healthy scratched, and Scott Harrington has stepped back into the lineup. He's playing on the third pair with Kyle Quincy, and he's done a very good job. He's not asked to do a lot. He's just asked to be steady and responsible defensively, and that's exactly the job that he has turned in. I had a chance to catch up with him and talk about that.
Scott, for you, how nice has it been to get back into the lineup, get a couple of games in a row there, and kind of, you know, get into a flow?
Yeah, it was really nice. Been a little while since I played my last game, and you know, especially with playoffs coming up here, it's nice to get into a couple games just to, you know, kind of get the feel of it again. And, you know, I was happy with how my conditioning felt and how the game speed felt. So, you know, it's just good for your confidence. You know, when you don't play for a little while, you forget, you know, maybe the game's quicker than I thought it was, and, you know, maybe get a little bit nervous coming back in. But, you know, it felt great to get back in there and back into game shape. And, like I said, just nice to be prepared heading into playoffs.
And how much do you have to put aside? You've been in this league for a long time, so maybe it wasn't a problem. Put aside that, I can't make a mistake, and play cautious, because, you know, that's when you do make a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's human nature to maybe think that way if you haven't played in a while. But, you know, I think to play your best, you just have to play relaxed and confident. You know, that's all I tried to do, is, you know, keep it pretty simple. And it was the first time I had played with Quincy there, so there's a little bit of a learning curve, I guess. But you know, he's been around a while, and he's an easy guy to play with. So it just felt really good getting back in there again.
How fun is it to be a part of this group right now?
It's a blast. I mean, you know, we're not by any means overconfident or anything, but you know, we have a good group. The whole year, we've really got along well, and you know, we've had a lot of fun together as a team through the ups and downs. And you know, to clinch the other day is just a good feeling. We know there's a lot of work left, and still a lot of games left in the season. But I don't know if it's maybe a weight off your shoulders, or now it's more of a light at the end of the tunnel type of thing. But you know, now that it's, you know, official that we're going to play in the playoffs, it's definitely motivating. And you know, I think that our group's as eager and as hungry as it's ever been.
Is it maybe a good thing that this division is so tight, because there are 11 games left? You still got to fight and scratch and claw. There's still a lot to play for.
No, definitely. I mean, we're playing some tough teams here in the final stretch, some teams that are going to be in playoffs. And, you know, as a group, it's going to be difficult for us, but that's what you want heading into playoffs. You want to be playing the best teams in the league, and you want to see how you stack up, and you just want to be playing playoff hockey. And we know that's what the games are going to be like. It's going to be playoff atmosphere in the building, and you know, we're excited. We're looking forward to it, and you know, I think it'll be a good challenge and a good preparation for us.
Well, finally, you came to the Blue Jackets from this Toronto team that you're going to take on. They have changed. They're much younger, and they've made a transformation. But what's going to be the key to slowing them down, especially in your own building?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious the amount of skill they have up front and speed. you know, they're kind of similar to our team where they really lean on a lot of young guys. And, you know, I think, you know, their team, the young guys really drive the bus for them. So I think that, you know, for our defense, we'll have to do a good job of limiting their time and space. I know it's a cliche, but, you know, against these guys, the more time that they have, the more plays they'll make. And, you know, obviously we want to carry the play, make them defend us, and play as much time in their D zone as possible.
That is Blue Jackets defenseman Scott Harrington, who, oh, by the way, got himself a little insurance policy yesterday. Yes, he got a contract extension, as did Lucas Sedlak and Marcus Hannikainen. All of them were signed to two-year contract extensions through the 2018-2019 season. All of them would have been restricted free agents at the end of the year. So this is a very prudent move by the Blue Jackets to lock those guys up. And, you know, Scott Harrington has done a fine job for this team. As I just said, he has been a pro. When he's not been in the lineup, he has always practiced hard. He's always made sure he's ready to play. And when they do put him in, he has played well. There's no reason, if you're thinking about having a guy that can be an insurance policy defensively, who's a good guy in the room, who doesn't create waves, who the players like, who everybody else in the room likes, Scott Harrington makes perfect sense. Lock him up and keep him around for a couple more years. Lucas Sedlak is just beginning his career. He spent a lot of time in the minor leagues in this organization, finally gets a chance to play in the NHL, and has done a fantastic job so far. 6 assists to go with his 7 goals for 13 points. So he's just getting started. So they get him taken care of. And Hannikainen is a guy that has been up and down this year, back and forth between Cleveland and Columbus, but has done well enough to earn a longer stint in the organization. So good for the Blue Jackets to get that taken care of yesterday. And all three of those guys can breathe a little bit easier, because it's tough sometimes when your contract is coming to an end and you don't know what an organization thinks of you, or if they're going to keep you around, or if there are opportunities for you, especially Scott Harrington, because he came from outside the organization. You know, Sedlak and Hannikainen might be a little bit different in the fact that, you know, they were cultivated in this system. So you normally don't want to give up those players. You want to give them every chance that you can until you have to move them because of salary cap, or you use them in a trade to better your team somehow. So those guys have a little bit more stability than do players that come from outside the organization like Scott Harrington. So for Harrington, I'm sure he feels a heck of a lot better as of yesterday afternoon, knowing that he's got a contract for the next 2 seasons. And remember, he did come from the Toronto Maple Leafs, ironically, in that trade over the summer where Kirby Reichel was sent to Toronto. Harrington came back. And don't forget that Reichel was a former first-round pick of the Blue Jackets, and he's a guy that has had trouble even playing in the American Hockey League with the Toronto Marlies. He's not on this roster tonight and has not been a factor for the Toronto Maple Leafs all year long. So the Blue Jackets were the winners in that trade, because even though Scott Harrington hasn't played a lot, he's played enough and contributed enough that the Blue Jackets got something better than what they had, because they didn't feel that Kirby Reichel was going to be a fit here in the NHL in Columbus either. So that's a nice job done by Jarmo Kekäläinen. Another one of those moves that kind of goes under the radar that you tend to forget about, but it was a good move along the way, getting a piece that was going to produce more results than the piece that you already had. Well, let's take a look at the Toronto Marlies coming into this game. They are a team that is in a wild card position right now, as I told you. They are in the second wild card spot, and they are there with 81 points. That has them 3 ahead of the New York Islanders and 4 ahead of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, the Maple Leafs and the Islanders each have 11 games remaining, and the Tampa Bay Lightning has 10 games remaining. So Tampa, they're the ones that are putting themselves in a bad spot there through the couple of losses that they have had recently, and they just had one against the Arizona Coyotes. Before I get fully into the Maple Leafs, let's just do this. Let's see what happened in the league last night, because it is important. I told you the Penguins won. They got a 3-1 win in Buffalo against the Sabres. Sidney Crosby had another goal in that game, and if you saw it, it was a one-handed look. You can like him or not like him, I don't care, but when you watch a guy come in, go coast to coast from behind one net down to the other net and push a shot high on the glove side of Robin Lehner with one hand, it's pretty impressive. So that was a highlight reel goal. There's no question. So the Penguins win that one. The Capitals got a 4-2 win at home over the Calgary Flames last evening. The New York Rangers lost in New Jersey to the Devils 3-2. But I told you before, the Rangers don't want to move. They are content with the wild card spot. They're going to cross over into the Atlantic Division and take their chances there. The Ottawa Senators, by the way, trying to improve their position from second place, trying to separate themselves from the Boston Bruins, who are in third place. The Senators were able to do that last night with a 3-2 victory over Boston. The Montreal Canadiens also lost last night, but they lost in overtime 2-1 to the Detroit Red Wings, so there is a point gained by Ottawa there. The Tampa Bay Lightning, here's the game that they blew last night. Totally blew it. They were down 4-3, third period, empty net as they pulled the goaltender, and a puck goes off the glove of Victor Hedman. He's trying to glove down a puck in his own zone so that he can start a rush up the ice. Goes off his glove and goes into the empty net for Coyotes' goal. 5-3 is the final there. So Arizona, a big spoiler win on the road. Elsewhere, Carolina beat Florida 4-3. The Flyers lost to the Jets 3-2 in Winnipeg. The Sharks lost to Minnesota 3-2 last night. Blackhawks, I mentioned, they picked up their 100th point as they lost in overtime to Vancouver 5-4. And St. Louis was a 4-2 winner over the Colorado Avalanche. That actually put St. Louis into third place in the Central Division. I'm just looking at it to make sure that I have that dead on right. Yes, they are tied in points with Nashville, but they hold the tiebreaker. So, in the Metropolitan Division, Capitals 102, Penguins 101, Blue Jackets 100. Told you that already, I know. In the Atlantic Division, Montreal's got 91 points, Ottawa's got 88, and Boston has 82. Then New York is the first wild card team, the Rangers, that is, with 94 points. Toronto is the second wild card team with 81 points. And I told you how much of a margin in points they carry over the Islanders and the Lightning. Over in the West, Chicago tops the Central Division with 100 points. Minnesota second with 94. St. Louis has 83. In the Pacific, San Jose 91 points. Edmonton 87. Anaheim 87. Edmonton holds the tiebreaker there. Calgary is the first wild card team with 86 points. Nashville, the second wild card team with 83 points. And those are the only teams. They will jockey for position perhaps amongst the group, but that's it, because the LA Kings are 8 points back with 10 games to play, and I do not see that happening whatsoever. So that's what's going on in the way of the standings. Now, let's get more specific when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs and some of their players. And there is one guy that stands out above the rest, and that is Austin Matthews, the rookie. He is in line for the Calder Trophy. He is battling that out with Patrick Laine of the Winnipeg Jets, and I hope that he's battling it out with Zach Werenski too, as Werenski continues to put up more points. But Matthews has 32 goals, 25 assists for 57 points. Another guy you can't forget about on this team is another rookie who is having a heck of a season, Mitch Marner. He's got 17 goals and 39 assists for 56 points. So those two young players are right up there, number one and two, and really have set the tone for this team. The way that they have played has really, as I said, set the tone. They have challenged their teammates to pick it up, and some of their teammates have done just that. James Van Riemsdyk has 54 points on the year. Nazem Kadri has 52 points on the season. So, you know, Kadri especially, he's a guy that's been around there for many of the lean years, and people wanted him out of there. I'm talking about fans. Get him out, trade him. He should go. Well, he has stayed, and he's reaping the benefits of having stayed. I can tell you that. The goaltending situation, would expect Frederik Andersen to make the start. He's 29-15-0 on the year, 2.65 his goals against average, .918 save percentage. Of course, we know the other goaltender very well, that being Curtis McElhaney, who's 5-5 and has a 2.56 goals against and a .922 save percentage coming into play tonight. So that's a closer look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, who they are, where they are, and they have a back-to-back situation too, but they're playing the Devils tomorrow. So that's why I said I would expect Andersen to make this start tonight, being the tougher of the two games. So we shall see what happens. And I don't even know if Sergei Bobrovsky is going to make the start tonight or if it'll be Jonas Korpisalo, because I would guess the Blue Jackets are going to want to play two different goaltenders in these two games, and one would think that Bobrovsky would get the call against Washington in Washington. However, depends how you want to look at it, because the last time he played there, he got pulled from that game when the Blue Jackets lost 5-0, ending their 16-game winning streak back in early January. So I don't know. You heard Torts earlier saying that there is a plan for the goaltending, and he made 2 points to say, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but there is a plan. When they put that plan together, how much do they factor in? Would you rather have Bobrovsky in the home game, Korpisalo in the road game? Do you want to give Bobrovsky a chance to play against the top team? And that's what I think that they will do. That's my guess at what they will do, because if you get to the playoffs, and let's just say something I've talked about briefly but haven't really dwelled upon. Let's say the Penguins end up winning this division and the Capitals wind up playing the Blue Jackets in the first round. Well, Bobrovsky's going to play against them then. Of course, it'll be a different situation here. It won't be a back-to-back. Well, could be, I guess, depending on how the playoff schedule sets up. But what I'm saying is you would think that Sergei would go tomorrow in Washington, but don't be surprised. I'm done being surprised, because I've seen the Blue Jackets do it enough where when you think one guy's going to start, the other guy ends up starting anyway. So we will find out tonight. John Tortorella will talk later this afternoon prior to tonight's game at Nationwide Arena. Puck drops at 7 o'clock this evening. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:45 on the Blue Jackets radio network, which includes the flagship station 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. You can also hear the game via the NHL app. You can hear it through the TuneIn app on the Blue Jackets channel there, or you can get it at BlueJackets.com. Blue Jackets and the Maple Leafs as the Blue Jackets get back to work tonight on home ice and hope to pick up 2 more points and get back to a tie with the Washington Capitals. Until tonight, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long. I'll talk to you later. Don't want to hear it again.